sure most people here tonight have heard of the Baptist pastor called John Bunyan. He was born in November 1628 in a little village called Bedford. Like many families of his day, he was brought up in extreme poverty. Yet his parents did all they could to get him an education. He said about this himself, "It pleased God to put into their hearts to put me to school to learn both to read and write." But as a youth, John Bunyan learned something more in his life, that he was a sinner, that he has sinned against the Lord. And he tells us himself that he was filled with all unrighteousness, and he had a few equals for his years for cursing, swearing, lying, blaspheming the holy name of God. And as a young man, he learned a lesson. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And he learned very early in life about sin, committing sin in his life. And he also learned about the conviction of sin in his life, because as a young man, it tells us he was greatly afflicted and troubled with the thoughts of the fearful torments of hell. And no doubt, as a young man, God was speaking to him, warning him, as a young person, you're on the wrong pathway, you're living the wrong life, and you're heading down towards hell. And he was troubled as a young man, but you know, he went on. There could be someone here tonight, and you say, "Noel, I know from as a young man or a young woman that I need to Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know all about my life, it is wicked, it is wrong in the sight of God, and I know if I die, I'm lost for all eternity." But tonight you're going on. He pressed on. It tells us about his life that he joined the army for 3 years. Then he left the army, got a job out in Civvy Street. And then he got married. And it tells us, not shortly after his marriage, that he fell into sin time and time again. And it's recorded about this man's life that one day when he was playing a game called cat, whatever that was, must be throwing something. And he's about to take a second shot. He records himself that a voice did suddenly dart from heaven into my soul, which said, "Wilt thou leave thy sins and go to heaven, or have thy sins and go to hell?" As if God spoke to him from heaven. Will you leave your sins and come to heaven, or will you remain in your sins and you go to hell? Now, it's recorded in his life. The struggle got worse within his heart and life. He felt within his soul that he was a blot upon the face of the universe, that so much so, when he looked at the very creatures in the fields, he envied them. He says, "Oh, how happy was every creature over me, for they stood fast and kept their station, but I was gone and lost." He saw himself worse than even the cows in the field or the sheep in the field. He was really troubled. He felt himself under the wrath of God. It was quite about his life after a visit to Bedford, and hearing the conversation of godly women, he was greatly impressed by the words that they spoke about the love, and about the love that they had displayed for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see the picture. This man knew he was lost without Christ. He was under deep conviction of sin. He was lamenting, "There's no hope, there's no hope, there's no hope for me." But then something changed. Something changed in a moment, friends. This text came before him. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And he said, this scripture did most sweetly visit my soul. Oh, what did I see in that blessed 6th of John? Oh, the comfort that I had from this word. And John Bunyan saw, to his delight, that it was possible. It was possible for the most unworthy sinner to come to Jesus Christ to be saved. And thus the taxes spoke to his heart. And do you know something? He came. He came to Jesus. That man came to Christ. And he was saved. And that's what the mission is all about. That you will come to Jesus Christ. And I want to say some things with this great and well-known text that's here tonight. I want to speak first of all about the step that's mentioned. There is a step, of course, for salvation. And it's very clear for us. It says, Jesus says, him that cometh to me, the necessity of this step. If anyone is ever going to be saved, you can see very, very plainly here in this word, Christ says you must come unto me. The emphasis here is on the me. And the reason is very clearly here. There is no other Savior. There's no one else can save us. And that's why the Lord Jesus says about this step that will bring salvation, him that cometh unto me. We're directed to Christ. We're directed here, you can see plainly, to none other. We're not directed to the font at the front of a church. We're not directed to any church. We're not directed to Mary. We're not directed to Muhammad. But dear friends, here the Lord Jesus speaks about this step for salvation, the necessity of it. We must come to him. He says, come to me. And that's very plainly taught in the Bible. In 1 John, for instance, chapter 4, verse 14, it says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I ask you the question tonight in this meeting, who was sent to be the Savior? Who was sent to redeem us? Who was sent to rescue us? Who was sent to save us? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. It's only one Savior. It's only one Savior, friends. No matter what public opinion says today, no matter what the world says, there's only one Savior. And the Lord Jesus says, come to me. And that's a step that's necessary for everyone here tonight in this meeting. One person said, God never saves a spectator. I say that to you tonight by being saved. It's no good you looking to Christ, just looking, or listening about him. And fair enough, it's good, of course, to listen about the Lord Jesus Christ and to consider him in your heart and in your mind, because we're living in a day and age where many people never consider Christ at all. But you will never be saved until you come. Till you come to Jesus Christ. Him that cometh unto me. And dear friends, you must come to him. You see also the simplicity of this, because the sinner is to be saved. He is just to come. Not tremendous. Are you glad today that the Lord didn't make salvation complicated? Christ is him that cometh. I think everybody knows what that means. If someone calls us, or we come to them. And the Bible is very clear here about our coming to Jesus Christ for salvation, that we are to come freely. He says, to him that cometh unto me. And you can see here in this text, we're to bring nothing with us. He never asked anything. He never asked anybody to bring anything with him, friends. You see, it's all free. Salvation is free. He doesn't ask me to bring works. He doesn't ask me to bring riches. Because there are people tonight, they have no works. They have no riches. Just come the way you are. And you think of that great verse in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yeah, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Dear friends, here's the tremendous truth of the Bible. Salvation, it's free. It's free. It's without money and without price. Just got to come freely. You've got to come to him. That's the same for everybody who wants salvation. You must take this step. Of course, you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, that's very simple. The Lord Jesus is in heaven. We're here. Imagine he was in Jerusalem. We all said, well, you want to be saved? Well, you better get on a boat or you better get on a plane and let's go to Jerusalem. Well, you can imagine all over the world that people would all be in boats and planes and get to Jerusalem. What's your chance of seeing them? Very little chance. Dear friends, we come by faith. We come by faith to Jesus Christ, believing he's listening, he's calling. He wants me to come. And we come to him with all our heart, and we come by faith to Jesus Christ to be saved. You take a step of faith. Don't we remain in your sin? Don't we sin in your sin? You get up from it. You take this step, you see, dear friends. You think there in Luke 5, 7, verse 50, the Lord Jesus said to that woman, that wicked woman that was saved, thy faith has saved thee. And notice how she got salvation. It was her faith. It was her faith in Jesus Christ that saved her. This Spurgeon says, we come to his blood to be washed, to his righteousness to be cleansed, to his wounds to be healed, to his life for life eternal, and to his death for the death of our sins. So we come, dear friends, and become freely, we come by faith, just the way we are. And we come forsaking. And what I mean by that, you must forsake your sin. You must forsake your sin. The Bible tells us very, very plainly. And think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said it a couple of times in Luke chapter 13 and verse 5. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He gives a warning to the people. Except ye repent. Except ye turn from your sins. Turn around, come to me. He says you'll perish. So here's a step. I must take a step. Listen, away from the world. I must step away from my sin. I must turn my back on it all. I must come. I must come to Jesus. That's how I was saved. That's how anybody's saved. You've got to turn from your sin and come to Jesus Christ. Think of that great verse in Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Dear friends, we are to return to God. We are to forsake our evil ways and come to him. Dr. Lloyd-Jones says Christianity, it starts with repentance. We turn away from sin. Have you turned away from your sin? Are you still in your sin here tonight in this meeting? Or have you turned to Christ? You must turn also, can I say, in your step. You must leave your self-righteousness. Him that cometh unto me, as I said to you, you have nothing. You have nothing to bring to Christ. But some people try to bring things. Oh, they bring their works. They bring their religion. They bring their deeds. They bring their prayers. So, well, I bring my works of kindness, dear friends. Him that cometh unto me, you bring nothing. Because you haven't got anything. You have no righteousness of your own. All our righteousness, the Bible says, are the filthy rags. And the Bible says that we're justified by faith. And that great hymn says, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. That's how you come. Here, boils down to this, friends. You come just the way you are. If you're ever going to be saved, you've got to come just the way you are. Him that cometh on to me. Here's a step. Come to Christ. By faith, turning from your sins, forsaking all other things in your life that you're holding on to and trusting for salvation. You've just got to come with all of your heart. You've just got to come and trust him. And receive him as your Lord and as your Savior. Dear friends, John Bunyan saw this. I'm lost. I'm heading down towards hell. But here, he saw it all, friends, just coming to Christ. I hope tonight God will speak to your heart if you're unsaved in this meeting. And you will come to Christ. This is the step that's mentioned. him that cometh unto. Listen, me, Jesus Christ. It talks about the scope as well here in this salvation. Him that cometh unto me. John Bunyan was asked a question. This was the question he was asked. What hymn is he referring to? Now, I've been going to theology. Mr. Baxter used to teach theology. Is that right, brother? And I was taught by this man. Is that right? Of course, years ago. So if I'm wrong, he's wrong. Not right in our thought. And so he was asked this question, you know, what hymn is he talking about? Because the great verse says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. And someone says, well, and so there is a great crowd given by the Father to Christ. And so he says, they said to Bunyan, what hymn is this? You know how he answered it? He says, it's him that cometh. There's your answer. That's the one that is. It's him that cometh. That's what Christ said. I think here the great scope of salvation, you see. It's him that cometh. And the sinner can come despite his race. I'm glad tonight there are people down in Africa. They can be saved. The Red Indian can be saved. The men and women from China, the white men also from England, Scotland and Wales, Northern Ireland, we can be saved despite our race. It's him that cometh. And the Lord Jesus shows us this. And the Bible shows us. It's him that cometh. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation 7 and verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, notice that, and all kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Listen, from all nations, kindreds, people and tongues. They had come, you see. You see, it's him that cometh. Despite their race, where they're from. And that's even for yourself here tonight. I'm sure most people in this meeting is from Northern Ireland or maybe somewhere else. I do not know. But if you're from somewhere else, it's him that cometh. It's him that cometh. You can come despite your race. The sinner can come despite their rebellion because it's him that cometh. You know something? There's no limit put in these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The vilest offender can come. And if you took time tonight to go through the Word of God, you would read of some of the most vilest people who came. Last night we were speaking about Rahab the harlot. Friends, she was saved. You can open up the scriptures. You can read about Manasseh, that wicked and vile king. He came to Jesus the way he was. And dear friends, he was saved. The Apostle Paul, who described himself, and when you read the Bible, as the chief of sinners, he came. They all came. You can multiply that many, many times in the Word of God about people who came to Jesus Christ. I say to you tonight, you can come. I don't need to know your sin. God knows all about it. I don't need to know the details of your lifestyle. The God of heaven knows all about it. But you can come. Him that cometh. Him that cometh. Maybe you've watched this in your life. You've seen vile people getting saved. Drug addicts, drunkards, immoral people, blasphemers, liars, thieves. You've saw them and they've come to Jesus Christ. But you haven't come. You go over there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. Apostle Paul writing to the people of that church, and he said to them in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So he's going to show them who will not be in heaven. And then he gives a list. He says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That sin's been pushed down our throat today throughout our land. The Bible says they're not getting into heaven if they remain as they are. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul is telling those people, here are a number of people who will never be in heaven if they remain as they were. But you know what he said? And such were some of you, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And he talks about this great multitude of people. Dear friends, this number of great sins, but he says here, ye were washed. You see, they came to Jesus Christ just the way they were. And the Lord Jesus saved them. And he can do that for you. You see, it is him that cometh. Him that cometh. And sinners can come despite their reasons or their excuses. Some would say, well, I'm too old now, Noel. I'm going too long in my life. Listen, I want you to listen tonight. This is important. It's him that cometh. You say tonight, I have lived too long in sin. It's him that cometh. You say, I'm too young. It's him that cometh. And maybe there's someone in the meeting tonight and you say, well, I'm too bad. It's him that cometh, friends. It's him that cometh. You see, dear friends, here's the great scope of this. It's him that cometh. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful message from the Bible? If I said here tonight, oh, there's no drunkards can get in, I wouldn't be standing up preaching tonight to you. Somebody else had to do the preaching. Or anybody else in this meeting, whatever your sin is. But listen, it's him that cometh. Tremendous words that fall from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Bunyan saw this with all, he saw his own life, he saw the sin in his life, but he saw he could come to Jesus Christ. It's him that cometh. And I say that to you tonight, whatever holding you back from being saved, don't let it hold you back. It's maybe held you back for years. Friends, here's a message for your heart tonight. It's him that cometh, you, in this meeting. I want to say lastly about the security of salvation. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He gives us great assurance here about salvation. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. This assurance or security is found in his word. The Lord Jesus said he would not cast you out. And there's a double negative here in the Greek language. I will never, never cast you out. I want you to think of this tonight. He promises by his word that those who repent from their sin and those who come to him, he says, I will never cast you out. It's not a tremendous encouragement to come to him. It's not a tremendous courage for anybody in this meeting who's unsaved to come to Jesus Christ. I will in no wise cast out. Dear friends, if he doesn't cast them out, he takes them in. Remember the Bible says in Titus 1 and verse 2, in the hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He promised it. But John Bunyan said about this particular text, if ever Satan and I to strive for any word of God in all my life, it was this good word of Christ. He at one end and I at the other, but God be praised, I overcame him, I got sweetness from it. With joy I told my wife, oh, now I know. Dear friends, he got the assurance that him that cometh thou no wise cast out. You see, this assurance, this security, if at all, is found in his word. In no wise cast out. In no wise. And if you come the way you are, with all your fears and all your sins, he'll bring you in. He will forgive you all your sins. He will save your soul. And the security of this salvation is found not only in his word, but in his work. Remember this, it's his work to save sinners. And you think of that great text in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Why did Jesus Christ come into this world? He came to save. And why, dear friends, did he go to the cross and make a sacrifice for sin? It was to save us. This is his work. He came from heaven to die to save us, to take away our sin, to pay the price for our sin, to make an atonement to God the Father. This is his work. So I asked you tonight, how can the Lord Jesus turn a trembling, repenting soul from him? He cannot do it. I asked you tonight, what hands will he cast them out with? Because lifts up his hands, and they're nail-pierced hands, the wounds on them. Dear friends, how can he cast them out? These hands were nailed to the cross to save sinners. How could Christ do this? Heaven would mourn if he cast them out. You know, hell would rejoice if the Lord Jesus cast anybody out who came to him, turning from their sin. You see, it's his work to save. And that's why he not cast you out. And I say that to you tonight, friends. There's great security here of God's salvation. It's him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe you've been cast out of different places, like some of us maybe in this meeting. But the Lord will never, never cast you out. Come and trust him. It is recorded by John Bunyan as he lay on his deathbed. His last words were, take me, for I come to thee. What tremendous. The words that lit up his path of his pilgrimage when he came to die illuminated the valley of the shadow of death. He's lying on his bed, and friends, he's saying, take me, for I come to thee. You know something? The Lord took him. The Lord took him. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. There's great assurance here for you. If you turn tonight with all your heart and come to Jesus Christ, turning from your sin, trusting in his atoning sacrifice to wash you from your sin, trusting in his grace and power to save you, friends, he will save you. He will save you tonight. He will not cast you out. He'll bring you in. He'll bring you in and give you everlasting life. And that's why we sang that hymn tonight. Lovely hymn. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad, and I found in him a resting place. Listen, he had made me glad. I could ask many people tonight in this meeting to stand up if you've come to Jesus Christ. And did he bring you in? He did. There's nobody in this meeting tonight can say, I came to Christ and I've asked him to save me and he turned me away. You'll never find that in the Bible. A true repenting soul that turns from sin and comes to Jesus Christ, he doesn't turn them away, friends. He brings them in. He brings them in. And I want to say in closing tonight, he can bring you in. Him that cometh. Him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. We don't ask for anything public in the meetings. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But you can read history about people used to say to people who come to Christ, and people used to get up and come to the front and make their professions of faith and all, and whatever people think of those things. All I say in meetings, I say, come to Christ where you are, in your heart. Just come with all your filth and all your sin and trust him. And if I can help you, and Mr. Baxter, we would gladly speak to you after the meeting. My friends, settle this matter, the salvation of your soul. It's the most important matter in your life. You're on the verge of eternity, the verge of hell. This man, John Bunyan, he felt he was going to fall down into hell and be lost. And then, dear friends, the word of the Lord came to him, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And he came to Jesus. The Lord can save you tonight. Don't go home without him. Don't be trusting in any other thing, but trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you prove this tonight. You prove this to me. You prove it. The Word of God is true. If you're unconverted in this meeting, come to Him. Cry to Him. Trust Him. And He will save you. And He'll do it tonight. That'd be tremendous. You can leave this meeting saved and on your way to heaven. You need to speak to us? We're here to help you.